Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. This is show number 269, and it's being recorded on October 30th, 2010. And the music in this podcast is provided by the IOTA Alliance. The artist you're listening to is Christine W. And the song is Feel What You Want. From the album Straight Up With A Twist. Okay, I want to welcome you to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm really glad that you stopped by to give it a listen, and I'm glad to have you as a subscriber if you're subscribing. And the music you listen to in this show is an extra added bonus for the show, because what I like to do is add a little music in and gives it some variety. And it also highlights some artists that otherwise will not get highlighted because they're not on the big radio stations. They're independent artists, and I like to give them some exposure here on the show, even though it's perhaps a bit limited, but good nonetheless. And, you know, I do know that one of my listeners, and that's John Jones out in California. I was talking to him when I was out there with Laureen and at the Mac Expo. And John was telling me, and this was a big surprise to me, that 16 of the past 20 songs that he purchased were as a result of the music played on this show, which is really, that's a wonderful compliment. I want to thank John for supporting the artists that we highlight on the show, and I hope you do too. Well, coming up on the show, this is going to be a little bit different. You know, I'm going solo. Laureen is off in Hawaii, and Gary Ebels is down in Florida for a boat show. And that sounds like a lot of fun. Hawaii sounds like a pretty good time, too. So I hope Laureen and Gail and Gary down in Florida, I hope they're all having a great time enjoying a little bit of time off and a vacation. And this has been an exceptionally busy month for me, and I've had time off, but it sure doesn't seem like a vacation. But anyhow, that's going to come up in December, when I hope to get away for a little while and take a trip down to Florida myself. So I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, as I mentioned, this is a solo show, and what the show is going to be about, we're going to be talking about direct mail marketing. So I hope you stand by for that, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. But before we do, I want to let you know that you can go over to the website at hometravelagent.net. That's www.hometravelagent.net, and stop by there and pick up all the show notes from past shows. You can listen to the show right there on the website. There's a player there. All you have to do is hit play, and you can listen to any of the past shows within at least the last couple of years that are posted on the website. So I hope you take advantage of that. Have fun with it. You know, it's all free. We don't have platinum or gold membership levels here. Everything that we do is brought to you free of charge. And, you know, it's kind of unusual in this day and age. And the reason that is, Laureen, Gary, and I, we like to talk about the travel. It's a passion of ours. And we want to pass along information that can help you in your travel business, or give you some information about the travel business if you're thinking about becoming a travel agent, or maybe you're just interested in the business and curious and want to listen along here, and that's fine too. And you can get the show notes delivered directly to your email inbox. And all you have to do is go over to the Home Base Travel Agent website, hometravelagent.net. That's at hometravelagent, all one word, .net, and put your email address into the box on the right-hand side of the page, and you will get the show notes delivered automatically to your email inbox every week. So I hope you take advantage of that. It's very convenient, and the show notes have all the links that we talk about. We have information about the resources that we sometimes talk about here on the show as well. So with that, what I want to do is get into the meat of the show. And I want to talk about direct marketing. Now, you know, we've talked a lot about using social media to market your travel business. And we've talked about creating videos, being active on Facebook and Twitter. We've talked about producing a podcast and having a blog and having a website, you know, and these are all great marketing tools. But, you know, we haven't talked about some of the old-fashioned ways. And there is a very effective way to market your business that's been around for a very long time, and that's direct marketing. Now, I say this is very effective, but it is only effective if it's done right. And I want to emphasize done right. Now, my goal for the show is to define direct marketing, give you some basics of direct marketing, give you some ideas that maybe will be seeds for you that you can use to grow your own ideas, and to point you to some resources to get you started. Now, direct marketing is a form of advertising that delivers your message direct to the consumer. The common forms of direct marketing are telemarketing, and I'm sure you all are familiar with that. Probably have received those phone calls at 6 o'clock at dinner time, and those are kind of irritating. And then there's the direct mail campaigns. Now, telemarketing is more difficult today because of government regulation and the do not call list. Now, direct mail campaigns are still a very effective way to advertise your business. Direct mail campaigns will have a strong appeal to businesses, such as your travel business, that have limited advertising budgets. So I know you all are not rich. I know you all aren't $1 million companies out there, and I know your budgets are limited. So direct mail campaigns are an effective way to increase your business. Now, a company called the Vertis Company, V-E-R-T-I-S, and they're involved in the direct mail campaign business. Now, they completed a study that looked at direct mail responses over a two-year period. And what they found was that the total number of adults who responded to direct mail pieces during the past 30 days increased from 34% in 2004 to nearly 49% in 2006. Now, another figure that really stunned me was that the year-to-year readership of direct mail pieces remained around 55%. So what that means is more than half the people who receive a direct mail piece read that piece. And that number is even higher for affluent households. People in households with an annual income of over $75,000 per year have a readership of direct mail pieces of 59%. So almost 60% of those people in affluent households open up and read direct mail pieces. Now, these are impressive numbers telling me that if I send a direct mail flyer to households in my area, that over 50% of those flyers will be read by members of the household. Now, according to the Vertis study, my direct mail piece will do a good job of getting the consumer's attention. But, you know, that's half the battle. You know, the other key is getting the consumer to act on that information in the direct mail piece. Now, I'm going to come back to that important point in next week's show during the business segment. So first of all, one of the things that I want to do is to define what a mailing list or direct mail is. And simply put, it is the list of people, along with their postal address, who you want to send your direct mail piece to. But you know, that sounds kind of simple. It really is too simple. Now, you can design your mailing list to target who receives your direct mail piece. And one of the primary targets is fairly obvious. You can target the geographical area where your direct mail piece will be sent. Now, there are several other targets, and these are called selects in direct mail jargon. Now, these selects are age, household income, marital status, sex, head of household, presence of children, hobbies and interests, purchasing behavior, home value, and length of residence. So you can narrowly define who your direct mail piece is going to. Now, there are two different types of mailing lists that you should be aware of. And the first type of list is the compiled list. And the second is the response list. Now, compiled lists are developed from phone books, credit files, and public record files. And those record files are things like property tax lists. Now, response lists come from people who have purchased or inquired about products or services. Now, again, compiled lists basically are lists that come from phone books, property tax lists, public records, that type of thing. Response lists are developed from magazine subscription lists, from warranty cards you fill out after you purchase a product, from membership clubs and catalogs, and other items that would indicate a specific interest of the person responding. So those are response lists. Now both lists, both types of lists, are enhanced with demographic data obtained from the census and other public record data. Now, as you might guess, compiled lists are the least expensive of the two lists. Now, compiled lists are useful if you have a limited budget, or if you want to target every household and business within a limited geographical area. Compiled lists are also useful if you want to mail fewer than 5,000 pieces, perhaps to a targeted geographical area. So maybe if I'm sending out a list and perhaps I want to target the north half of the county that I live in, you know, I can do that. Or maybe you just want to target to a particular zip code. And you can find zip codes and you can query those zip codes and get an idea of the demographics of the people that live in those zip codes. So you could actually find a zip code where the average annual household income is greater than $75,000 per year. And that kind of income may be the type of people that you would target your travel product to. You know, you may have a specialty travel product that's a little bit more on the expensive side, so you'll target your mailing list to those people that have a higher household income, obviously. Now, response lists are used when you want to tightly target your direct mail piece. Perhaps you want to reach golfers. Maybe you want to reach people who love music or food. Maybe you want to reach people who like wine or who love to travel. And as you might guess, response lists are more expensive than the compiled lists. But even though they're more expensive, you're going to get a greater return on your investment with a response list. Now, a good way to start with a direct mail campaign is to start small. Starting small will help you determine what is working and what is not. Also keep in mind that some people will not respond to your direct mail list the first time that they receive your offer. They may wait until they see your name or your business in front of them two or three times, and then they may respond. Now you may be wondering, what kind of response rate should you expect from a direct mail piece? Well, the Direct Marketing Association. And by the way, if you haven't investigated the Direct Marketing Association, you might want to go over there and check that out. And I'll have a link to this in the show notes as well. But the Direct Marketing Association analyzed 1,122 industry-specific response rates and calculated an average for all industries at 2.61%. So that means if you send out 1,000 direct mail pieces, you may receive 26 responses. And now, of course, that's if you track with the overall industry average. Now, the next question I'm sure you have is, where do you buy a mailing list? Where do you get a list? I'll have a list of resources, including mailing list companies, in my show notes. But keep in mind that when you're shopping for a mailing list, there is a difference between buying and renting a mailing list. And typically, you will rent a mailing list. But, you know, you might ask, well, if I rent a mailing list, don't I have the names and addresses in my database? So why can't I just use that list all over again when I'm ready to do another mailing? You know, why can't I just put that list in my CRM and just use it anytime I want to? Well, you don't want to do this because the mailing list company plants several names and addresses in the list that are designed to send your direct mail piece back to the mailing list company. So they're going to know immediately if you use that list again, and then they're going to send you a bill for your second or subsequent use of the list. So you don't want to do that. If you're going to rent a list, make sure you rent it one time, use it one time, and you know, follow the rules. Otherwise, they're just going to bill you. Okay, now you've picked the type of list you're going to use. You have the company that you're going to rent the list from, and you've decided the number of mailings you're going to send and what demographic you're going to send them to. But how do you want your targeted audience to respond? What instructions are you going to give them in your mailing? Do you want them to go to your website? Or maybe you want them to give you a phone call? Or maybe just email you? Or perhaps you're going to include a coupon or a special offer in your mailing list. Well, and this is the one I like, you're going to invite them to a special event. Again, you have to think about what kind of response you want from your mail, from your direct mail piece. Now, statistics reveal that direct mail with coupons or special offers have a higher response rate. Now, you may make a special offer in your direct mail piece and create a special web page, which is called a landing page, and that landing page has a unique web address. So you can track the number of people that have responded to your direct mail piece with that landing page. Or you may want to put a coupon code on the direct mail piece and have a box on your web page where the people can enter that coupon code, and then you can track the responses based on that coupon code. Now, when the responder ends up on your landing page or enters the coupon code and is taken to a landing page, you will want to capture the responder's contact information. Perhaps you want them to fill out a form indicating the type of vacation they're interested in. And once they do, you can follow that up with a phone call and talk to them and get more detailed information and maybe close a sale. Now, as I mentioned earlier, my preference for an action to a direct mail piece is an invitation. And this is called invitation marketing. Now, personally, if I send out a direct mail piece, I want to get people to a location where I'm face-to-face with them. You know, the action for the responder is showing up at an event. Now, this makes invitation marketing makes this the most sense to me, because if I'm going to the expense and trouble of creating a direct mail campaign, you know, I want them to be there in the same room with me so that I have an opportunity to interact with them, and hopefully they can build some trust, and that makes it much easier to get a sale. I've talked about in the past the sales formula, the marketing formula, and part of that is trust. And you have to develop trust with people you're doing business with. And when you get them in that room and you're talking to them, you know, that goes a long way to build that trust. Now, again, with invitation marketing, you can let your creative juices flow a little bit. You can create an event that has a strong draw for your responders, and you can also include a coupon or special offer if they attend the event. The idea that I like is perhaps you can partner with another business in your area to help you out and host the event, and maybe the other business will help you fund your direct mail campaign, because they're going to get exposure and they may get potential sales depending how you set up this partnership. So that's something to think about, and here's some ideas off the top of my head about partnering up with another business for your travel business. And maybe you want to pair up with a local winery. You know, you can give a presentation about a cruise or a specialty vacation, and then invite your guests to partake in the wine tasting after the presentation. So each business, your business and your partner business, has an opportunity to sell their wares. Or maybe you can team up with a local restaurant and do kind of the same thing. You can have the restaurant provide samples of their cuisine before you give your presentation. And then after people have filled their bellies a little bit, you can give your presentation on your travel product. Now, another idea that's a potential is to team up with a local car dealer. And, you know, I've seen this before. I've seen car dealers offer cruise specials to people who have purchased new cars. So maybe, you know, team up with a local car dealer, run a promotional campaign with the car dealer to give a free cruise to anyone who buys a new car. And you can invite, through your direct mail campaign, you can invite your target audience to a cruise night at the auto dealership. Now, that's a win-win for both you and the auto dealership, because you have an opportunity to meet potential clients and they have an opportunity to get people in the door who they may sell a car to. Now, I hope you have a travel specialty. You know, everyone should specialize in some travel product or another. And your travel specialty may provide you with additional ideas on how to do an invitation marketing event. So think about this. This can be very worthwhile for you and your business. Now, I hope this topic has left you with a few good ideas and information you can use to grow your business. Now, in the show next week, during the business segment, I'm going to talk more about how to develop your direct marketing campaign and how to develop it to bring you some success. And also, next week, Laureen will be back, and I will look forward to hearing about her trip to Hawaii. And maybe Gary will be around, and maybe we can get him on the show as well. We have to see what Gary's schedule is like. But anyhow, Coming up next on this show is the travel news segment, so stand by for the news. Okay, I'm back, and we're going to talk about the news, travel news, and actually the first item is not really travel news. It comes from John Dvorak's blog, and he has a couple of videos in his blog, and this is pretty amazing, and it has to do with travel, but it actually has to do with time travel. And if you go to the website, and I'm going to have a link to this video in my show notes, but if you go there, play this video and watch it. There's a clip, a 1928 film clip from the Charlie Chaplin boxed set that was shot outside of Grauman's Chinese Theater. And what you will see is someone walking, and they're very out of place. Now, you're going to have to see this to believe it, but what you'll see is very out of place for 1928. So take a look at this. And let me know what you think. Is this real? Is this somebody that's come here from another time, come to 1928 from the future? Again, what you're going to see is out of place for the year 1928. So take a look at it and drop me an email. Tell me what you think. Barry@hometravelagent.net. Okay, the next article comes from USA Today Travel. And Disney Cruise Line is going to be opening up bookings for the new ship. The Disney Fantasy has now rolled off the dry dock, and it's gone into the harbor, and it's getting ready to sail out. And Disney is now booking cabins for this trip, four sailings in January. So the Disney Fantasy is getting ready, and you might want to keep an eye on this. You know, the Disney Cruise Lines fill up fairly quickly. They're very popular, and this is a good way to increase your business and add to your business doing this Disney cruise sale. Now they're going to have another ship rolling out here, going to be sailing on April 7th, 2012, and that is the Disney Dream. So Disney's adding two cruise ships to its line of cruise ships and adding cabin capacity, which is all the better for you if you're going to be specializing in Disney cruises and Disney products. So take a look at this article. I think you'll find it interesting. There's a couple other links to other articles about Disney and about these cruise ships as well in the USA Today link that I have in the show notes. Okay, now the next article, it comes from Princess Cruise Lines. And Princess was interested to determine how Americans spend their vacations. And one thought is that, you know, maybe Americans like to sleep in during their vacation, but, you know, that's not true. And that's kind of surprising. In this article, it says that the relaxation report uncovered some surprising insights as to how Americans pursue leisure. The report showed that 55% of vacationers preferred to get up early rather than sleep in on vacation. Now, 44% chose to sleep in late. Now, the relaxation report also revealed that 6 out of 10 Americans prefer a spontaneous, go-with-the-flow itinerary rather than a set schedule of activities while on vacation. And 2/3 of Americans prefer to relax on the beach rather than at the pool. Now, to aid in relaxation, most Americans prefer reading, 25%. 20% prefer relaxation by having a drink, and 19% listen to music. Now, when it comes to music, country music was the clear winner, with 24% of Americans preferring country songs over all else. And followed in popularity was soft rock, 21%, and classical music at 17%. Jazz music, which I'm a fan of, came in at 13%, and pop at 12%. And most Americans like to unplug when they're on vacation. Contrary to popular belief, you know, mindlessly surfing the internet or flipping through the television channels may sound like a good way to relax, but in reality, Americans couldn't disagree more. Most Americans, 97%, do not choose the internet or television as primary ways to relax while on vacation. Now, there's more in this article. This is a press release, actually, from Princess Cruise Lines. So there's more statistics like this in this article. It's some good background information that you can use in designing vacations for people. Help you design a target audience, as a matter of fact. So take a look at this article. A link will be in the show notes. And enjoy. Well, that's it for the news. That's it for the show this week. I hope you've enjoyed the topic. I hope you've enjoyed me going solo. I know it's not as much fun as having a couple of great personalities on here along with me, like Lorraine and Gary. And I really do miss them. And, you know, it's a lot different talking to yourself or talking to your microphone than it is to have another person on the line helping you do this show. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. Drop me an email, and you can do that by sending it to Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, @hometravelagent.net. And you can check me out on Facebook at facebook.com/Barry.Kantz, and that's K-A-N-T-Z. So I look forward to seeing you next week, having you here on board the show. And until then, I hope you have safe travels. Stay healthy. Take care, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye now. Singing, shoo.
to do no more, but time no more.